talking about it, but I want to see if I can share some things about it, because God has put on my heart how much he loves you. So usually when we talk about marriage, we always go to Ephesians chapter 5, and we read through verses 21 through 33. I'm not going to read that to you today. You can read that when you get home. I just want to concentrate today on verse 32, the great mystery that Paul talks about. Now, you'll notice in the Bible, in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's constantly a reference between God and his people as one of a marriage relationship. In the Old Testament, when Israel is gone away from him, he calls them an adulterous nation. And then in the New Testament, Jesus talks about his church as his bride. And I'd like to see if I can unpack some things for you today. How many of you are married? How many of you want to get married? How many of you don't want to get married ever? Well, how many of you have been to a wedding? How about that? Just about everybody. So you would know or be familiar with the phrase, something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue. Are you familiar with that phrase, ladies? All right. Well, what I'm going to do is take a look at that tradition and how it correlates to a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? So let's start with the dowry. In the old days, men would pay a dowry to the father or the family of the bride. And you could tell pretty much how much he loved this bride-to-be by what his dowry was. The more he loved her, the more he would give of his dowry. So I was searching through the Bible for someone that would be a good example of that, and I found Jacob. And I hope this doesn't happen to my Jacob. But it's a typical boy-meets-girl story. Jacob is out. He meets Rachel and he falls head over heels in love with her. So he makes a deal with her father, Laban, that he would work for him for a week to marry her. So he works for her for a week. And if you remember in the Middle East, they have veils. Well, they have the wedding ceremony, the vows are exchanged. It's nighttime. Now he wants to go in and consummate his marriage. He lifts up the veil and it's not Rachel, it's Leah. And Jacob is upset for two reasons. One, the love he had for Rachel. And the other one is the Bible says Leah was kind of tender around the eyes. And I think that's the Bible's nice way of saying she wasn't that attractive. But Rachel was beautiful. So Jacob goes to Laban and he is upset. He's like, hey, I made a deal with you to work for her for a week. I work my week and then you slip in Leah. And Laban goes, well, we have a tradition here. We don't marry the younger one before the older one. Work another week and you can have her. So he says, bet. He works another week. The wedding happens. Go to consummate the marriage. He lifts up the veil and it is Rachel. And he is happy. But what many people don't realize, in the Old Testament, a week was 7 years. So Jacob loved Rachel so much that he was willing to work 14 years for her. So you can tell now by the dowry someone is willing to pay how much they love or cherish their bride-to-be. So you get a good idea. In today's numbers, the average salary is about $46,500. If you multiply that by 14, you get $644,000. Is what Jacob paid Laban for his wife. Now, would you say that man loved that woman? Amen, right? And you can tell by what he was willing to pay for her. Today, we don't do that. Today, the young man falls in love, and he goes out and he buys his bride-to-be a diamond ring, an engagement ring. And based upon the typical tradition today, it's 3 to 4 months worth of your salary. So today, that would be an $11,000 to a $15,000 ring that a guy would give a girl to say how much he loves her. Now, of course, you can go more than that if you love her more or you have more money. But the going price today is about $11,000 to $15,000. But let me tell you something about a diamond. Have you ever seen a diamond in the raw, anybody? Let me tell you about a diamond. Well, they used to believe that a diamond was a piece of coal or some sort of carbon that was down in the earth, and it was under hundreds of thousands of tons of pressure. And then it begins to crystallize, and it works its way up through the dirt. And then it's in the mud and, you know, garbage, and it's kicked on, it's stepped on. And if it's in farmland, you know what the animals put on it, right? So anyway, this diamond is mined. It's brought to a gemologist. He washes it off. He puts a lens on, and he looks deep down into the core of this diamond. He's looking for faults. And then once he identifies them, then he works around the faults to shape the diamond into the beautiful stone that we recognize them today. And he begins to chip away the things on the diamond that stop it from reflecting light as beautifully as it possibly can. And those become facets. And then he polishes up the facets, puts the diamond in a store under a light. Then some guy and his girl comes in. They see the diamond. She goes, "That's the one." They put it in a beautiful setting. And then it ends up changing the way this girl gestures. You know what I mean, right? Because usually a girl goes, "Hello." Now it's, "Hello." My man be loving me, right? Check it out, right? So the diamond is how today we can kind of measure the dowry. Then we have something old in that tradition. Something old. Something old speaks of continuity. Something that has been tried, tested, and true. Something that is faithful. Like the old farmers, they'll tap on their tractor and say, "Here's my old faithful," or their old gun, or something like that. But it is something that has been with them for a long time and been faithful. And every time Brother Herman texts me, he always says, "God is faithful." And I just love that. Because it's something old and it has continuity. Then there's something new. And the something new represents optimism or the hope for the future. That these two will spend in life together. No longer me, but now we. So the me becomes the we, and we look forward to with optimism to what the future is going to bring us. Amen? Then you have something old, something new, something borrowed. This was interesting. Now, these are things that the bride's going to put on her person somewhere. And something borrowed speaks of borrowed happiness. But when you say you borrow something, it infers that at some point you're going to take it back, or it's loaned, and at some point it's going to be taken back. And those of you who have been married for a long time know that you need all the happiness you can get when you're married to get you through the tough times. Amen? You can say amen. All the guys are like, "No, I ain't saying that, man." But you need happiness, because marriage is a task. It is an endeavor that requires commitment. And Pastor spoke beautifully about that yesterday. So we have something old, something new, something borrowed, and something blue. Now, in the olden days, something blue represented purity and fidelity and love. Today, white represents love, fidelity, and purity. And young people, I want to tell you today, at some point in the near future, I hope to speak to you about the value of sexual purity. Okay? More sooner than later. So there we have now the dowry that can kind of give us an idea of how much the groom loved his bride to be by what he was willing to pay for her. We have something old, something that has been tried and tested and true, and it has continuity. We have something new, optimism, the hope that these two now share that life is going to bring them. Something borrowed. We have the borrowed or loaned happiness. And I say something blue, but with Jesus Christ, we say something true. So what I would like to do today is see if I can make sense of that to you or unpack that and how it relates to a relationship with Jesus Christ. So, God has laid on my heart how valuable you are to him. And for some reason, we seem to have lost that. You know, we talk about Jacob with his $644,000, but the Bible says, "Greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend." Friends, Jesus Christ laid down his life for you as part of the dowry that he was going to pay for the propitiation for our sins. Jesus paid with his life. There is no greater price that someone can pay for you than what Jesus Christ paid on that cross of Calvary. Amen? Amen? Jesus, God loves you. You are priceless in the eyes of God. And when, just like when that stone is brought to the jeweler, And he looks down into the core of it to see its intrinsic value, because when you look at a diamond, you really can't see its value with the naked eye. But just like that jeweler washes that stone and begins to work with it, so it is with Jesus Christ. He sees you as his bride, your potential beauty, and you come to Jesus dirty, battered, tattered, abused, and mistreated, broken, but you are not destroyed. Amen? You come to Jesus Christ and he washes you with his blood. And the Bible says, though your sins be as scarlet, they will be made white as snow with the blood of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ takes you and he looks through the sin that has been done to you. He looks through the sin that you have done to others. And he sees you as that beautiful bride, that beautiful bride. And I can tell you, I remember when I was going to marry Anne Marie, and I'm standing up at the altar there. It's funny they call it an altar. And I'm standing there, my palms are sweating, and I'm really nervous, and the preacher's trying to make me calm, trying to stop me from running away, just kidding. And you hear, da 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 da, and everybody stands up, and you hear, ah. Oh. And then the groom peeks. And let me tell you something, as beautiful as you ladies are, as beautiful as my wife is to me today, there is a beauty about a woman who is adorned as a bride that is just unparalleled in life. There's just something incredibly beautiful about a woman adorned as a bride. And that's how Jesus Christ sees you, adorned as his bride to be. He sees through the sin, through the brokenness, and wants to wash and cleanse you with his blood. And then he'll begin to chip away the heartache and the scars and the bruises with his love for you. True love, agape love, that means no matter what you do, God will never stop loving you. Amen? Amen. So then we have something old. Something old speaks of continuity. And the Bible says in John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You don't get any older than that. You talk about continuity, that's what Jesus Christ is offering you in a relationship with him. The Bible says he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. You enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, that's what you're going to get. Unadulterated agape love. No matter what you do, he is never going to stop loving you. Something new, optimism. Jesus tells us, behold, I make all things new. And if any man be in Jesus Christ, he is a new creature. All the old things are passed away and everything is made new. That sin that you've done, the sin that has been done to you, it is all washed away and you are made new in the blood and the power of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Amen. Something borrowed. This was a tough one. But sometimes you gotta talk about the tough stuff. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death, judgment. Job tells us that the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job said that when he was just informed that his 10 children were killed, his thousands of animals had been stolen or burned, and that man said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So what does that have to tell us today? Well, that has to tell us that your spouse, your family, they are not going to be with you forever. Many of us have recently experienced the passing on of a loved one. And I can tell you, those of you who have recently experienced that, if your loved one knew Jesus Christ, they have been promoted to glory. Amen? They are now in the presence of Almighty God, waiting for us. Waiting for us. So let me give you some statistics here about death. Every year, 55.3 million people die every year. Every day, that is 151,600 people. Every hour, that is 6,316 people that will die. That is 105 people every minute and 2 people every second. Now, let me give you the good side of that, births. Every year, remember there was 55.3 million deaths? Well, every year there is 131.4 million births. Every day, 151,600 die, but 360,000 are born every day. Every hour, 6,316 die, but 15,000 people are born every hour. Every minute, 105 people die, but 250 are born every minute. And every second, 2 people die, but 4 people are born every second. And folks, God has called on us to move those people in the birth column to know Him before they get to the death column. That is what God has called us to do, to share His love and relationship with those who are born before they die. It is an urgent matter, people. It is an urgent matter. People are dying too every second. We are called by God to be His ambassadors, to stand up for the truth of Christ. It's not always pleasant for people to hear it, but you must stand up and take a stand and decide this day who you will serve. Amen? All right. Something blue, purity. Something blue, purity. Well, in the Old Testament, 14 days before Passover, when they were going to, you know, sacrifice the Passover lamb, they would take it in and they would examine it. And if it had any faults whatsoever, it was rejected. It couldn't be an appropriate sacrifice because it needed something pure to cover sin. To cover sin. You know, you do realize that Jesus Christ was arrested and brought to Pilate. And Pilate examined Jesus Christ, and you know what he says? I find no fault in this man, because he is the perfect Lamb of God, as John called him. Behold the Lamb of God that doesn't cover the sin. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your purity and your blood. This is what Jesus brings to a relationship with Him. He is looking for a relationship with you. He's tried and tested and true. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He has promised that He will never leave you or forsake you. And this is because Jesus Christ was betrayed, and He spoke of being forsaken on that cross, and He has promised us He will never leave us or forsake us. That's what happens when you enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Something true. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. People, friends, do not be deceived. There are not a whole bunch of roads getting up to God. Only one person, Jesus Christ, went to that cross to pay for your sins. No one else. And if any of those other guys, Buddha or Muhammad or any of them, would have died for you, it would have meant absolutely nothing, because they were sinless. The Bible tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But He who knew no sin became sin for us. People, that is love. Amen? That is love. Jesus Christ loves you. Jesus Christ loved you enough to leave His throne in glory, in the presence of Almighty God, to cloak Himself in flesh, to be born in a stable, to go to a cross, not by accident, but willfully, to go to the cross to pay for you, because He values you. And I tell you again, when He looks at you, He doesn't see that sin. He looks at you as washed through the blood of the Lamb, holy and righteous, without spot or blemish, to stand before Him in that day. And the reason the Bible uses this metaphor is because to a man, nothing is more beautiful than his wife to be adorned as his bride, standing there for him to be united in marriage. You are beautiful in the eyes of Jesus Christ. He looks at you through a lens of love. And just like that gemologist looks through that lens to see down into the core of that stone, Jesus Christ looks down into the core of you through the lens of love, and He sees His image on you. That's why He loves you like He does. Because you are made in the image of Almighty God. And I'm going to say to you today in closing, if you do not know Jesus in the pardon of your sin, Won't you come to Jesus today? You know, the wedding we talked about earlier, at the end, after the rings are exchanged, you know, they make a vow that they promise to love and cherish in sickness and in health and death do us part. Today, that should be until I get tired. You know, people do not take this commitment seriously. And then there's the giving of the ring. And in the old days, they used to use iron because it was tough and durable. And today, like Pastor said, we use gold. But the significance of the ring is that there's no end to it, no end to the commitment. In Jesus Christ, there is no end. He's never going to leave you or forsake you. But does anybody know why we put the ring on the left hand? Somebody's got to know. Go ahead, Lauren, if you know. No? Well, years ago, they believed that there was a vein that ran from this finger to the heart. And they called that the love vein. That's why we put the ring on the left hand. And I got to tell you a story of a guy I worked with. He used to have a wedding band on his right hand. So, you know, I was curious, but I wanted to be, you know, gentle in how I approached that. So one day I couldn't take it anymore. I said, yo, man, are you married? He says, yeah. I said, you know you're supposed to wear your wedding band on your left hand, right? Is there some significance to this? Is this an heirloom? You don't want to damage it while you're working and stuff? He says, no. So I'm like, come on with it, you know? And he says, well, Jerome, I wear my wedding band on the wrong hand because I married the wrong woman. I was like, oh, that's cold. That was cold. But I want to tell you today, folks, you are loved unconditionally by the creator of the universe. The Prince of Life himself came and laid down his life on a cross for you and I. And then to demonstrate his power as to who he was and the promise of eternal life, he rose from the dead 3 days later. Hallelujah. No one else can say that. And the Almighty God himself loved you enough to come down here to be spat upon, kicked, his beard ripped out, thorns pressed on his head. That was all the price and the dowry he was willing to pay for you. Because that is how much Jesus Christ loves you. Do not be deceived. Satan wants to deceive you and tell you that you're not worthy, that you don't deserve it. No, I don't deserve it, and I could never earn it. But the creator of life himself, God himself, loved me enough and loved you enough. Not that you had to earn it, just that he loved you enough because he saw his image in you and wants to redeem you and was willing to pay that price for you. For you. For you. That's how valuable you are. Amen? So in closing, I ask you today, if you do not know Jesus Christ in the pardon of your sin, will you say, I do today to Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you do not know Jesus Christ in the pardon of your sin, will you say, I do to Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you have already said, I do to Jesus Christ as your Savior, he asks you today, will you say, I will or I do to Jesus Christ as Lord of your life? Will you say, I do to him as Lord of your life? Let go of the sins that you're holding on to and move forward in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. When Jesus called Lazarus out of that tomb and he came out of that tomb into newness of life, he came out in the grave clothes and Jesus said, take the grave clothes off him and loose him, because who the Son has set free is free indeed, friends. Stop holding on to your sin. Your sin has the stench of death in it. Let go of your sin and come completely and wholly and fully into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it is only when you do that, that the light of God's love will shine in you and men will see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Amen? You cannot do it on your own. Stop holding on to your sin. Repent and surrender yourself completely to Jesus Christ today. And I'll close with this. Will you say, I do, to Jesus Christ today? God bless you. Amen.